God gave us this imagination, the minds that we have, so that we can discover things. But they're being stifled by videos. And our songs should paint pictures in people's heads and their own pictures. And that's what they're for. I don't like the video aspect of rock and roll.
Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Hello, and I'd like to welcome you all to part two of Mark Farner's interview. We'll be talking about the writing of I'm Your Captain and Foot Stompin' Music with the ever-famous lick. I know you'll enjoy these stories.
Can we talk about one of your songs, the writing of I'm Your Captain?
Yes. I actually prayed for that song. Because I say my prayers every night. I say prayers during the day. But the nighttime prayer I prayed in 1970, I included P.S. after I did my Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer that my mother taught all us kids. But I put a P.S. on there, and after I blessed all the grandpas and grandmas and all the uncles and aunts and all the people that I could name, think of, then I said, P.S., God, please give me a song that'll reach and touch the hearts of those you want to get to. And I got up in the middle of the night and I wrote the words, but I didn't know they were words to a song. They were just kind of out there. And I stayed in the in-between conscious and asleep in that kind of that in-between world. It's where a lot of creation comes from, and I wasn't questioning the words as they were coming. I was just writing them down. And then when I got up in the morning and I had my coffee and I was playing my flat top, I had a George Washburn American acoustic guitar that was the baddest guitar you ever heard. I mean, it got stolen on an airline back in the day, but that guitar was magic, and I started playing the opening lick, you know, the acoustic guitar lick, and I went, wow, that's pretty cool. And then I did the started strumming and when I hit that C, I just reached over there and grabbed and left my little finger and ring finger down and grabbed the C with my point finger and my middle finger. And that was the first time I'd ever made that inversion, and it just, wow, it went, hey, this thing ringing out. I went, I was inspired by that chord, you know, and all of a sudden I went, oh, I wonder if this will go with those words. And I went and got the words from alongside my bed stand there, and put them on a table, started singing the song, and I took it to rehearsal that day, and both Don and Mel said, Farner, you got a hit there.
Wow.
And they were right.
And yeah, then the song kind of wrote itself after that. It sounds like you just, there it is.
Yep. There it is.
Wow. Yep. Heard that tune a few times.
Well, good. It's a favorite with our troops and with our veterans. I played that song for the 25th anniversary of the Wall Memorial in Washington, D.C. For the Vietnam veterans.
Yeah.
And not only the American veterans, but Canadian veterans as well, Vietnam veterans. And when I got around to doing the song, you know, I'm Your Captain, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And we were in the park, you know, we were right on the grounds, and it's outside, it's 36 degrees. and we're playing music in 36 degrees, but it's for our troops, and we don't care how cold it is. You know?
It ain't
and then
heavy.
At Fort Irving in California, they had a Vietnam Veterans Honor ceremony, and they wanted us to come play. We went over there, and we got as many of those vets on the stage as could be. And it was the same thing when we started playing I'm Your Captain. They were singing it, and these guys were from all different states. A lot of them didn't know each other, and most of them didn't know each other, but they all embraced, sang the song. We all cried together on that stage. I'm telling you what, brother, it's a healing.
That's inspiring. And, it really is.
Yeah, and that's what that song's about. And you know, a lot of people say, well, what was it? What did you mean when you wrote that? I didn't mean anything. And what happened was, all of a sudden, videos started being very popular, and you get one definition. But I'm going to tell you something, Bruce. They did this poll, or they did 100, interviewed 100 different people after listening to the song, The Bridge Over Troubled Water, you know, by Simon Garfunkel.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
They got 100 diverse definitions. 100 diversely different definitions. And there was no video. Had there been a video, there would have been one definition, whatever that video said. But our minds, God gave us these imagination, the minds that we have, so that we can discover things. But they're being stifled by video. And our songs should paint pictures in people's heads and their own pictures. That's what they're for. I don't like the video aspect of rock and roll. I like, you know, just letting people hear the song and get whatever they get. And you know, stir that imagination. Let the, you know, plant it in the ground and grow it and cultivate it and let's do something different, make it a better place. Man, it's like our imaginations are getting shut off.
I agree. It's not the first time I heard somebody say they didn't like doing videos with their music for that reason, because I think lyrics mean something different to everyone.
Absolutely.
Foot Stomping Music. Yeah. Was that just kind of a jam song? How did that one come about?
Yeah, it came about when I took delivery of my brand new Hammond B3 organ. I made enough money where I could buy me a brand new B3 and two 145 Leslies. They were 145s. Jeez. Were not supposed to be.
You were hauling. That's a lot of B3. Furniture.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Did you break down the B3 or did you just carry it around with all the wood?
Well, we carried it around.
Jesus.
We carried it around.
You're a pretty strong guy.
But these, you know, back in the day, these guys came, they delivered it down my basement, and they left. The rehearsal room had Brewer's drums in there and the bass rig and my guitar rig. And then when we took delivery of the B3 and the guys left, I went over there, I cranked it up, and I just grabbed a handful. I started rocking my hand, because that's what I was feeling, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I just started, and I couldn't hardly wait till Brewer and Shocker got there
set
so
up.
We could kick this thing. And when they got there, I said, listen, Brewer, it's a shuffle, but you can't tap it out on the socks the way drummers do. I hear it. You kick the shuffle, play 1, 2, 3, 4 on a sloppy hat, 2 and 4 on the snare, and it will be a rock shuffle. It won't be a swing. It'll be a rock shuffle. It'll have a rock edge to it. And it worked. And then we use that same shuffle on Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. You know, most drummers just do boom, da, da, dum, da, dum,
absolutely.
Da, dum, you know, and that don't rock. That swings. It tends to swing, and I don't like swing. I like rock.
Yeah.
I like put it in drive, baby. Let's take this thing for a test drive.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah.
Well, what a great song.
Thank you.
I welcome you to listen to part three, where Mark talks about Janis Joplin and her chocolate factory, the British invasion, and Mark's gear. With that, I bid you a fond adieu. Over and out.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
Radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.